In a presidency full of firsts, First Lady Jill Biden is also making history as the first in that position to keep her paid job. In addition to her duties in the White House, she will continue to teach English on campus at Northern Virginia Community College. Since Martha Washington, the role of the First Lady has been evolving. Lauren Wright, a political scientist at Princeton, has been writing about the history of First Ladies. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Jill Biden. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt was also a teacher. She taught at the Todd Hunter School for Girls while FDR was governor. But then when he was elected president, she was forced to stop teaching. So, Lauren, why is that historically been the professional expectation that first ladies will leave behind their day jobs when they become first ladies?
Well, that's exactly right. And there's actually a variety of reasons. One is just that the status of women as professionals in society and their role in the workforce has changed, of course, drastically over the years. But if there was some way to hold constant the status of women in society, I think we would actually see that first ladies have always pushed boundaries. And so Eleanor Roosevelt is, of course, someone who pushed those boundaries despite the political concerns of her husband, who wanted her not to have an official position in the administration and really not to comment on anything that was in the province of the president. Then, you know, we also see that first ladies, and this is what my research focuses on, have been a tremendous asset to the White House from a communications perspective. And one of the reasons they are such an asset is because they're really the only surrogate that has outsider status that is widely popular, sometimes across party. And so the White House has become dependent on that status and them as these uniquely situated messengers who seem to be able to more easily relate to the public.
I was just going to say, I've noticed that oftentimes they at least attempt to be viewed as apolitical figures. They'll pick a cause, Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign, fighting substance abuse, for example, or Laura Bush's advocacy for children's literacy. In other words, they're not picking, you know, hot button political issues. Is that what you're talking about or something else?
Yes, and you touched on something else that's extremely important. So we think of their projects in general, First Ladies Project, as non-controversial projects. But what they actually do in a lot of cases is they're very effective frames for very controversial presidential policy items. So if you think about the Reagan administration, some of the strictest anti-drug enforcement policies that we've seen, that and the remnants of which are still around. And so the projects, while they seem on the surface like they're strictly apolitical, tend to be very persuasive in some cases, ways to reach the public and gain support for a broader related presidential initiative.
We've also seen some first ladies be very hands-on in policy matters. Hillary Clinton, of course, comes to mind. She chaired a healthcare task force as first lady, and then, of course, she became a senator, a secretary of state, and a presidential nominee. But even going back to Edith Wilson, you know, we know from history that she helped actually run the country after Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in 1919. So what is the trajectory of the first lady's power and influence?
Well, they've always had behind the scenes influence, and that, you know, includes today. We just saw Jill Biden recommended Amanda Gorman to read the inaugural poem, for instance. I mean, that was viewed very positively in the media. So that speaks to these behind the scenes political instincts. But yes, many first ladies have been hands on. And what they've figured out in modern administrations is how to do that without appearing, as Hillary Clinton was criticized for, as an unappointed, unelected policymaker, despite the fact that she had many healthcare qualifications and had made similar reforms in Arkansas as first lady. And so it's a very delicate balance between what the public deems acceptable in terms of gender at that point in time and what first ladies can do. But it doesn't change the fact that first ladies, as my research show, are burdened with the majority of the White House's and presidential campaigns' communications burden for surrogates anyway. And they're heavily relied upon in a variety of circumstances.
we're just wrapping up 4 years of Melania Trump as First Lady, of course. She did some of that, of course, Lauren, acting as a surrogate. She'd made several prominent speeches, but was, I would say, more in the background than some First Ladies we've seen in recent history, particularly when you compare her to her immediate predecessor in Michelle Obama, who was very out front. And there were times when it seemed that actually Ivanka Trump was fulfilling some of the roles that were traditionally performed by the First Lady. So is there some precedent for the way Melania Trump handled the role? And do you think that we might see someone like that again in the future?
Well, the traditional way of thinking about it was Melania Trump fashioned her office after Jackie Kennedy. She got a lot of coverage for her public appearances in terms of what she wore. But with regard to public activity, you're absolutely right. Melania Trump represented a steep drop off from what we've seen in the past. And the White House briefing room websites don't categorize and list speeches in the same way they used to. But when they did, I measured the frequency of these and found that Laura Bush made about 42 major speeches her first year in the White House. Michelle Obama made 74, and Melania Trump made 8. So it was a steep drop off in volume. That doesn't change the fact, however, that some survey experiments I've run, in fact, show that she's a much more effective communicator among independents and members of the out party than Ivanka Trump is, which is a great counterexample that you just brought up.
That's Lauren Wright. She's a political scientist at Princeton, and she's been writing about the changing role of the First Lady. Lauren, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thanks, Callum.